everyone, and welcome to another episode of What Happens After I Do, a podcast about love, relationships, and everything that happens in a marriage after you say I do. My name is Erica.
And as always, I am Marcus.
And today we will be discussing boundaries, relationship boundaries. So set us off, baby.
All right. Well, I think boundaries in the confines of a relationship are very subjective.
But very important.
And, you know, everyone has their own sort of kind of personal preferences as to what, you know, they feel are appropriate boundaries. A good example of, you know,
One of the boundaries in our relationship
is just sort of like respecting the construct of time. And what I mean by that in my example is that it was last week or the week before. I was hanging out with some of the guys at a friend's house, and I had come home. I had lost track of time, and I didn't get home till about 2:33 in the morning. And in the and you would woke up, and you were definitely annoyed.
Yeah, so I knew this happens maybe once or twice a week. He'll go hang out with his friends. Like, I usually hang back because I'm tired during the week. And, you know, it's cool. It works out for both of us. He gets his friend time. I get my alone time. It's a beautiful thing. However, usually he'll come home before or a little after midnight. That's sort of our norm. This time, apparently, he was having a really good time. He lost track of time, and he came home at 3. Now, that night, I happened to be super tired, and I went to bed. And I just happened to wake up at 3 a.m., and, you know, I felt in the bed. No one's there. So I was like, oh, he's probably pooping. This is what he does. I get up, walked around the house, not home. And then, of course, my first worry is, oh, my God. I think it was like a quasi-rainy night, one of those rainy nights. My first thought was, oh, my God, he's had a car accident. He's stuck on the side of the road. Something happened. So, you know, naturally, I was worried. But he saunters in like he's king dingling. And I'm like, oh, excuse me, sir. Let me tell you something. We don't walk in this house at 3 in the morning by ourselves.
Right.
Right.
Which is a lesson I learned that day.
Because I just think there's nothing good can come of single people out in these streets at 3 a.m.
I'm not a single person, which was
my point. Now, if you're a single person, those hours work, and you know, everybody knows those are booty call hours, and those are, you know, reckless doing nonsense hours. But when you're a married man or woman, you know, you, out of courtesy for your partner, you know, that's not what we do. So it was a one-time offense, and we brought it up and we had a conversation about it because we hadn't drawn that boundary. Exactly. We weren't clear about that. But now, you know,
I'm like, what time is it appropriate for me to be home? And again, that was a little bit me being on like the defense of it because I could, you know, I could see, you know, your frustration. So right. I understood that. And,
you know, and I think, again, that's at each coupling's discretion because the rules that may work for our relationship may not work for other relationships. But I don't think you can have a successful relationship if it's all willy-nilly and everyone's out here crazy just doing whatever the hell they want. There has to be a level of courtesy and respect for your partner. So what are some of our other boundaries?
Well, I think this was just yesterday, another example. A friend of mine invited me to go to a punk show in Brooklyn. And I'm like, well, let me just check with the wife on the date, see what's what. For a couple reasons. One, because
you busted your balls about it.
Yeah, because one, you're the calendar keeper. And sometimes right. There are things that we have on the books far down the line that I don't know about. And they're like, what do you need to ask? I'm like, listen, guys, I'm a married man. This is what you do. You just check in. It's just a courtesy thing, even if it's borderline rhetorical. Like, I don't think in my imagination, you're going to be like, no, you can't go, blah, blah, blah. Which has never happened. And we both got invited, so that's another reason why
he called me to check with me, and I had already taken a Benny, so I...
Which is short for Benadryl.
Benadryl,
which is what my wife uses
to go to sleep.
To stay asleep, because you have trouble sleeping.
So
she's a little loopy.
I was half high, and I got wrangled into this... rock punk.
They didn't
show.
Want to exclude you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And again, you don't have to come because Eric could, you know, find someone.
Well, no, I would love to come. I think it's fun. You guys are fun when you're together, so yeah. It'll be a good thing.
It'll be all right. But anyway, I just thought that was a good example of where, yes, it was. I got ball busted a little bit, but it wasn't like I felt forced to do that. It's just that, you know, that's sort of, I felt in that moment, me respecting the boundaries of just being like, hey, this is a thing that I would like to do. You're invited to. It's just, it makes your life easier.
Yeah.
If you just check in with your partner. And it doesn't have to be, it's not specific to married people. I think everyone could, try that out sometimes.
Yeah, I think you could be courteous.
You're not like whipped just to check in with your partner to be like, hey, I want to do this on this day. That work for you?
Like when I run out, sometimes I'm running out to chores and I'll list whatever I'm going to do. And that's just, you know, so he doesn't worry. And so he knows where I am because God forbid something happens. I get a flat tire on my phone. At least he can say, oh, well, she said she's going to be here, here, and here. So he has a better idea. What are some other boundaries?
What are some of yours? Do you feel like I've laid out any? Do you feel like there's any sort of boundaries spoken or unspoken that you feel that, you know, for better or for worse, maybe that you, you know, live inside of? I don't really feel like I have. I don't know. I default to because I feel like there's more structure in in your behavior and the way you think about things. And I'm just out here like a gelatinous jelly roll.
What you're asking is, have you applied any boundaries?
Do you feel that I've applied any boundaries?
No, I don't feel like you've applied any boundaries. But again, I think we're both courteous people. So yeah. I think I know how to behave with my partner in a relationship. And second, I think we have good, what's the word I'm looking for? Synchronicity. Like we've been in sync.
Yeah.
Like, there haven't been too many things. I think one of the boundaries that I set in the beginning, and it sort of took tweaking along the way, was to, that family first.
Yeah.
You know, and everything else, friends, etc., second. Because I know in the beginning you tried to put those sort of on equal...
Yes.
You know, on equal footing, and that's just not
the way it is. It can't coexist. In that way.
No, it can't.
They can coexist, but there
are your friendships can be important, but I think in a marriage, your spouse comes first.
Yes.
Because you're in it for the long haul and you can't have bad blood, especially for outside people.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked a lot in other episodes about letting or not letting outside noise like affect your relationship or your day to day. And that's, you know, that's one of those things. So that was one of my bigger boundaries in the beginning, just because so much shit happened and was screwed up around like the friendships and balance and blah, blah, blah. Thank God, almost a year down the line.
Worked it out.
We've worked it out.
A lot of what we see, the thing is because we're married, I feel like things are more on a pedestal than if you're just dating. It's not necessarily
100%.
Because these things, when you're dating, have more weight.
Yeah, when you're dating, I think you would hope it would last long, but until you make the commitment of marriage or the commitment to be and stay together, and I know that there are a lot of people that subscribe to, oh, well, marriage is just a piece of paper. Well, if it's just a piece of paper, then it shouldn't be an issue to get married.
Yeah.
And two, no, it's not true. Being married holds a lot more weight than just cohabitating with someone because we're intertwined
In everything.
And both spiritually and legally, we are intertwined. We've both known couples that are together for years and years and years. And when they break up, that's it. Out. You know, it's not that easy when you're married. But that's part of the commitment and that's part of what makes it special.
Yeah.
It's not an easy in, and it sure as hell is not an easy out.
No. And there are things, I mean, I think that we've been through things that would break up a couple.
Certainly.
That could. Not would, but could.
Could. Absolutely.
But it's because we have the commitment and the willingness to try to get through and over things as opposed to let them be like
absolutely.
Walls.
I think that's a really good point. And I don't know that we've talked about that in the past, but I think people... Or maybe we have mentioned it. I think people think that, like, when you get married, that just getting married sort of solidifies the relationship. But that's not the case at all. Like, getting married is just the first step. You have to work every day at your relationship. Like, you guys have no idea how many conversations we have, how often we talk about things and hash things out. And, you know, if I feel like he's off one day, like I'll dig and dig and I'm like, talk to me. What's the matter? Let's get it out. But it's that kind of work, keeping the lines of communication open, keeping the emotional intimacy alive, keeping the physical intimacy alive. Because there are days where we are smelly bums, but we make time for each other because it's important to connect.
Our bumminess knows no boundaries.
Right.
We go all's the way.
And some people might think, oh, well, you guys are you know, we're practically newlyweds and, you know, you've only been married for almost a year. But, I mean, our lives are crazy busy. Like, we have to schedule, like, just day-to-day things, even the mundane stuff. You know, there's a lot going on. We have a kid and there's all the household responsibilities and Marcus's job and my family and his family. So, it's not easy. You can't just rest on the laurels of being married.
Yeah, it definitely, it requires constant attention.
It requires work.
Absolutely.
You gotta work for it.
So
I'm trying to think, are there any other boundaries that, I mean, there are normal things. Like, you're not gonna be out here in the strip club. You're not gonna be out
here. Right, yeah. Like, we can talk about the thing. I mean, I feel like there's definitely a longer list of things that go without saying. But again, that's why it's subjective. Like, there might be couples out there where, you know, they're very secure and rightfully so, and maybe, and I don't wanna like pigeonhole the gender norms, but I'm just gonna say that, like, you know, maybe there's relationships where the lady doesn't necessarily mind if her man is out at the strip club or whatever. Sometimes they do. That just depends on the nature of the relationship. But those are the kind of things, like, you're not gonna be out here, you know, talking to all types of girls, being, you know, and vice versa.
I shouldn't have used strip clubs because I don't really have an adversity to strip clubs. But
yeah, but you know, there's probably a lot of women out there.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That do. I mean, I've been pushing for us to go.
Well, we're gonna go to when we go. When we go on vacation, we're gonna go to a strip club as man and wife, which I feel like would be like really fun. I feel like
the
employees might get a kick out of that.
Yeah,
but you're one of the enlightened women in the world that understands it, like. And I think we've even talked, like, these chicks don't want you.
Right, these chicks don't want you.
They're not here to steal your
man. However, I feel very different about, like, Instagram hoes, like, Instagram thoughts.
How's
like,
that?
A lot of these booty models and stuff like that, mm-hmm. like, a lot of guys follow. I feel like that's a little different because, like, I know girls that are, like, you know, that they have a fan base and that people are like, oh, my God. And they're just regular girls. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that girl might want to slide in the DM, or that girl might be right. Like, oh, he's cute. Oh my God, he spoils his girl, whatever. There's more of a
so you feel like likelihood. These Instagram thoughts have more of a basis in reality than a stripper.
Absolutely.
That's interesting to me because it's like a stripper is physically right there in front of you. Like, right, they could literally be grinding on your shit.
But that's a job. See, if you're an Instagram model, and let me not call them thoughts because I don't know that they're thoughts.
They're not thoughts. Yeah,
that's not fair. Instagram models, I guess.
We'll just say Instagram models. Right. You fill in the gaps on
right.
that one.
So, like, yeah, some of these chicks are just regular ass, regular schmegula chicks, you know, that live in that are just looking for a come up.
Right.
You know, some of these women are established and they have their careers and that's not really an issue. And again, they've turned their bodies into their career. So like a stripper, they don't want you. You know, they've stepped up. But there are some people that are looking for a come up. And I feel like it's a little easier. It's a little trickier to navigate. So definitely I'm not with like my man or my husband following.
Do you feel 50,000. Like it's because there's more like, even though they're not physically in front of a guy like how a stripper would be, there's more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? There's more of an avenue for connection.
Absolutely.
Because you could be like,
you could slide right in the DM.
Right.
If you're in a strip club, the music's bumping, the chick is on stage, you throw a dollar, like you're not having that little.
Right.
Unless you have a stack and she wants to talk. And again, she's probably talking to you because you have that stack and she's trying to make money. However, the accessibility isn't there.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. So that's one of my boundaries. Instagram thoughts, no go. We don't follow.
You've had some guys slide in your DM.
Oh, plenty of guys slide in my DM, but guys are guys. They're They're just...
I feel like it's more of a guy thing to slide in the DM. I feel like shit...
However, this is how we ended up married. Because I slid in yo DMs.
Oh, yeah.
See, it happens.
It does happen, yeah. But we saw it all the way through. Right. From sliding in the DM to sliding down the aisle. That's the name of our novel.
Sliding down the DM.
Sliding in the DM, sliding down the aisle.
That's great.
Oh, boy. All right, so... In this realm, Instagram models, more precarious to the nature of a relationship than a stripper.
That's just my opinion. I'm not saying that's not necessarily
I think there'd be an evenly divided school of thought in women. I'd be curious to know what other women find more of a threat to their... I mean, the thing is, the real threat is the nature of the relationship. And I think that's something where we kind of... We slightly, like, I see your logic, but we have a slightly differing view on that because you don't, like, for example, I feel like the trust isn't, like, you have to trust or you have distrust in an individual person mm-hmm. versus you have a trust or distrust of just temptation in general.
Well, because I think men are stupid. And I think, I do. I think that they're more physically driven. And I think it's easier to tempt a guy. Not all guys. I'm going on the record as saying there are some men who are straight shooters and they love their partners and it's not going to happen. But statistically, men are more likely just based on the physicality.
Right.
Women a lot, and not to say women don't cheat because we're out here doing all the same things. However, when in a relationship, women tend to cheat emotionally before they will physically. You know, they make the emotional connection first. And usually when it gets to being physical, a woman is emotionally checked out. Like it's whatever the situation that she's in, she's over it. She's had it. So yeah, guys are stupid. And guys swear that you're not the better liars.
Who says we are?
Well, because guys try to get away with shit all the time.
Because women are definitely better liars than
men. Women are 100% better liars.
I would never claim
but that. But men do more of the cheating.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess because we are physically driven, I guess, right? That's the whole nature of it. And it's harder. Like, I think it's might be safe to say women less likely to cheat because they're more, I guess, if they are checked out of a relationship, looking for more of an emotional connection, and that's something that can take... Like, you're not going to go out necessarily one night and then, like, quote-unquote, emotionally cheat versus a guy can go out, get it in,
and
cheat.
And just biologically, we are programmed to want to procreate. We're programmed to seek partners that we feel are viable to create offspring.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not out there thinking, yes, I want to pick them for offspring, but biologically, that is how we're programmed. And it just so happens that these women that you see, you know, like, for example, men gravitate towards biologically women that are younger looking, women with supple breasts.
Supple breasts.
Big, wide hips, you know, thick thighs, because those are seen as qualities of a woman who is fertile and can bear children.
It's crazy
so
to me that
biologically,
that's
what you gravitate
like
to.
Like, that's what it draws back to. It's just like pure, like, nature, biology.
Yeah, like
to
you
me,
can
it's
have
just like,
your preferences.
Ooh, it's all like sexy, blah, blah, but really, it's like so ingrained in our DNA as like something 100%. That is like risque and all sexualized versus like it's just nature
right.
and biology, which is
for,
what
for example, women look for, and this is not, you know, this is not a universal truth. However, biologically, people look for the better of the species, you know? So women are attracted to tall, you know, strong men with good features, you know, full heads of hair,
right.
Like very masculine features that make good protectors and good fathers. That's what we look for biologically.
Even if you're not out here trying to be like, oh, I need to make a family right now. It's just
correct.
Like, it's
however, I think that we are evolving as a race, as a
species.
So I think that we can supersede some of those things and we can create our own wants and likes. But no matter how evolved you are, there is still biological preference. For example, we talked about this. the height of our sexual activity, if we go from calendar to calendar, is always right after my period or when I'm ovulating.
Right.
That's when we're like bunnies every single day, a few times a day. And then literally right as I'm done ovulating, we tend to take a break.
Which like I was like, it must be like pheromones or something.
It is. It's pheromones, and women are more attractive biologically when they're ovulating. Hmm. We are. We're
glowing.
Whatever it is, whatever our bodies send off, but we tend to be more attractive, whether it's our scent or whatever it is, right, during the time of ovulation.
Ladies, keep your men away from ovulating Instagram models.
For real.
It's the number one danger to relationships.
That's just trouble waiting to happen.
What do you feel like are common but maybe like unfair boundaries? Either which way, men put on women, women put on men.
Oh, okay. So very, some that men put on women, like if your guy's very insecure, very macho, like that women can't have guy friends and vice versa, that men can't have female friends. I know that one is, I've heard a lot. I maybe subscribed to that in my late teens, but I've since grown up and when you become secure in who you are, you don't see people as competition. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like there comes a point where you can say that person's cool, that person's cool, that person's cool, and see people for their attributes versus feeling like you're in competition with them.
Right.
Because I'm not the baddest bitch, but for me, thank you, baby. But for me, I'm super confident, and I feel like every woman has her strength and brings her own unique glow to the table, but nobody brings my glow to the table.
Right.
Like, so I'm confident enough in that what I bring, what I have, the things I do are unique to me. Mm-hmm. Therefore, no one else's competition. So if you fell for my brand of
charm,
right, then I'm good, but with that. I'm secure with that.
But now what if I come home and I'm like, oh, babe, I made a new friend today named Sarah and she's blah, blah, blah. Like, that wouldn't make you, I feel like that might make you uncomfortable.
I don't know. We haven't been in that situation.
Yeah, I haven't made like a new girlfriend that you haven't met through someone. Like,
right.
I just, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, it's kind of cliche, but it's just like, I think it's virtually impossible for like just a guy meeting a girl or vice versa and like in any setting, and then like you just become friends. Maybe I'm small-minded. Maybe that's just like the
Neanderthal
guy.
There's always something else there. There's either a connection, like via your friend circle, or there's someone who...
And I'm talking specifically a guy and a girl just meeting. Like, I have plenty of gal pals, but that I've met through...
Well, because think about it. If you go up to a woman to say hello, you're not going up to her to say hello with the thought of, I'd like to make a new friend. You're going up to her because you find her attractive. Yeah, if you become friends in the interim, if you become friends in the interim, that may happen. But already, the foundation is, you know...
It's just the norm, too. Even if that was the case, even if some guy was like, yeah, I'm just, you know, just trying to be your friend. Like, it's just, it's so uncommon.
Well, because I don't think that's ever really... Now, do people become friends? Absolutely. But I think that women tend to steer that a little more.
Yeah.
I mean, you may find that after you get to know them for a little while, you're like, yeah, this would never work out, but this person's mad cool, so I'm going to keep them as a friend. And I guess men or women can make that decision. But I think if a guy... Yeah, so if you came up to me and was like, oh, babe, guess what? I made a new friend. I'm like, that bitch better be ugly AF because see, you ain't coming... Well, no, I'm woman enough to admit, because if you... Like, let's say one of our friends just started dating someone. And yes, we really like her. And she's super, super nice and super, super cute. So if, you know, you and her became friends, I would totally understand that.
But
and
see, that's what I'm talking about. I was just speaking on more like... I feel like it's very rare for just a guy and a girl to be independent.
Well,
like,
I mean, you're a man, so let's be honest. You're a man, so let's be honest. If you go out, let's say there's a social function or a work function, and you go up to a girl and introduce yourself, you just out of the blue, why did you go up to that girl? There's only one reason. It's not because she had cool shoes. It's because you found her attractive.
Right.
And then from there, you can progress and it can become... So if you come up to me and you're like, babe, guess what? I made a new friend. One, you're probably getting slapped because I'm like, oh, so you out here trying to talk to bitches that you think is cute.
I'll only talk to ugly women.
Nah, but I don't know. It just hasn't come up again because I think it would be awkward, and you know that it would be awkward.
Yeah, because I think just that I know human nature. I know how it is. I think the only time I've ever really like made friends of the opposite sex independent, like it's not they're not a friend of a friend. It's like when I was in college because you have like classes with people and you meet.
Well, yes,
and that, then you meet, but even then, there's different. Something there that's you were in school together. If you're in social settings, it's very different.
Yeah.
Like, you can, I think there are definitely plenty of instances where you can make platonic friends of the opposite sex, but I feel like it's contextual. If you just meet, if a guy or a girl meet each other out, independent of everything, they don't have any mutual friends, anything, just out at some place in the world, like, I feel like it's hard for that to be platonic. I'm saying possible, but I, you know, it's just the nature of.
Yeah, nothing's impossible, but it's not likely.
Yeah.
Not likely.
All right, so that's, so the. Men and women being friends, you feel like that's an unfair boundary sometimes?
I think that's an unfair boundary because it is possible. You know, I have friends of both sexes. You have friends of both sexes. We've intermingle our friends. Like, it is possible. I think it's healthy to have friends. It shouldn't be, your friendship shouldn't be determined by sex. And again, with everything, just like being in a relationship, it's a matter of respect and courtesy, because there are different types of people. If you have a female friend that's overly flirty and now you're in a relationship or even, you know, in a very committed married relationship, and this person still goes out of their way to be flirty or whatever, that's disrespectful both to your partner and to the friendship. And I think those things need to be nipped in the bud. Now, outside of an extreme circumstance like that, I think that's an unfair boundary that people put on each other. So what other unfair boundary do you think that people put on each other?
Outside of the nature of men and women having platonic friendships while they're in a relationship, I think like where you can go without, like I feel where? Like... Yeah, like, I feel like it exists, for example, I don't think this is something we've experienced personally, but, like, let's say you didn't want to go somewhere.
Okay.
You had no desire to. Okay. You didn't necessarily want to do anything.
That
and like,
happens all the time.
Right. And I wanted to go out and do something. Uh-huh. I feel like it exists in relationships where there's the possibility of you being like, no, I don't want you to go, even though I don't want to do anything.
Oh,
I don't,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
People being too, like, clingy, I guess, in a relationship. Or, you know, if it's just like, listen, you don't want to do anything.
Well, it's the joke that women hate their men having fun.
Okay.
So there is a whole thing about that, like, I don't know. I think it's like, okay, for instance, in our relationship, like, I have this thing where, like, it's important for me that we make memories and that we experience things mm-hmm. together. Now, it's not that I feel, what? You're what? Stop. I feel like I don't know, like, if you've been someplace before, like, I'm like, well, I don't really want to go there because you've already experienced that with someone. Yeah. And I want to make our memories. So when you, let's say a situation comes up where you're invited someplace and for whatever reason I don't want to go, I think I wouldn't be like, I don't want you to have fun, don't go. But my thought process would be like, I wish we could do that together. Yeah. And maybe I don't feel like doing it now, but maybe we could do it later together. Yeah.
That's specific to us. I'm talking about there exist instances where a partner might not want to do jack shit and the other person does. But just because you don't want to go, it's like you need to make them do nothing because you don't feel like doing anything.
Now let me do the flip side of that. Mm-hmm. Let's say there's a circumstance like that. Why doesn't the other person just say, okay, I won't go. I'd rather do it with you anyway.
But it depends on what it is. Like, it's...
It could be anything. But my stance is, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm saying, if that's the case...
Yeah.
You know, and your partner doesn't want to go, but doesn't want you to go, why isn't it... Like, why would that have to become a fight? Because the thing in relationships, that usually does become a fight. What I'm saying is, why... And usually it's the woman saying she doesn't want to go... And then the guy, whatever, usually, not always.
It can go both ways.
Right. It can go both ways. So, but why doesn't the other person just say, okay, I'll stay home. Screw it.
Well, that's a good question.
Why upset your partner?
Yeah. Well, I think you have to take a look
now, at... Now, this is an interesting thing because this is coming from the perspective of our relationship.
Yeah.
Because now, luckily with us, it just so happens that if I didn't want to go, I was fine with you going to whatever it was. I didn't care. Yeah. However, it might come up. It might happen. And my thing is, in this relationship, it's interesting because I'm okay with not doing things. I'm okay with missing out. But you tend to get FOMO and you don't want to miss out. And I think it's like that anxiety of not being at whatever situation. So how will we deal with that?
Well, we have dealt with it. It just depends on what it is.
There's never been a time that I'm like, I don't want you to go, don't go.
But if there was, I would rather you just say that because I feel like sometimes, you know, the general, it's, you know, sometimes people are afraid they might come off clingy or bossy or whatever, but I don't think
of that.
Okay, but there are times where I think it would be okay if you just said, babe, just stay home with me.
But I will.
Okay.
It just hasn't come up.
Well, then we know what's going to happen when it will, when it does.
What will happen?
It might come up and you'll be like, no, babe, I just want you to stay home with me.
And what will you say?
I'll be like, okay, I respect that.
I don't know if that's true.
If you were straight...
Might say it, but you will be not happy about it.
I guess it just depends on the scenario.
Well, what is the scenario that you would be upset that you couldn't go to whatever?
I don't know because it hasn't happened yet. We'd have to see.
But realistically, what could possibly...
I don't know, some like banging ass like barbecue party and it's like beautiful weather outside.
And you would not go to that with your significant other?
What? No, I'm talking about if that kind of thing is going
right,
on, but you
don't
want...
Right, and I said, I didn't want to go or I don't feel well or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, bitch, I'm out. I'd be like, uh-uh.
I'm not saying, bitch, I'm out. I'm saying that's the kind of thing. That's an instance of where it's like, I might want to go, but if you're like, babe, I don't want to go and I want you to just stay with me. Or I'd be like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, I respect that. Like, I would like to go to this, but you want me to be here and that's more important.
Yeah. I think it's funny because I'm like thinking of like, that's probably when it would happen during the summer because you'd love to be out in the sun.
Mm-hmm,
I love barbecues. I like being out there too. I just don't, like, I feel like you feel like you have to be at every single one. And I don't have that feeling.
Right.
That's where we differ. I'm like, if we went to a barbecue this Saturday and there's a barbecue next Saturday and I miss it, like, I'm okay with that. Like, what is really gonna
go down? Back to back.
Oh, please. You want to go to every thing.
I like to be omnipresent.
You want to be at every single goddamn thing.
I'm getting better about it though over time. It's just, I don't fucking know.
Well, we shall see. This summer shall be interesting.
When it happens.
However, because last summer was so insane with us meeting and marrying and fucking learning all the ropes, I think there was a lot, it was very busy with a lot of drama.
Yeah.
And I think this summer we've sort of committed and said,
we'll be in a much better groove.
Yeah, we want to do stuff. We want to go out. We want to experience things. We want to do stuff with, you know, the kid. And so we've sort of agreed to that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be, you know.
We deal with it all.
Yeah. I mean, it's not gonna break us. If we have that conversation and it's a little uncomfortable and there's a barbecue that comes up that you want to go to that I don't want to go to, I don't think it will break us. We will cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah.
You know. Arm yourself. I can see us mentally already arming ourselves for this fight.
Yeah, oh, my God. Let me get my talking points ready.
Oh, shit.
It just, you know, it all depends on what the scenario is. It's like, if we haven't done jack shit together in weeks or months, and then the first thing that happens to come up is something like that, then I fully understand why you might be like, why are you going to go to that, but we haven't done anything, versus...
Absolutely. Which is a conversation we have had.
About balance.
Right, about balance. Because there have been times where we haven't gone. I think there was like a month period where like you were bummed out and we didn't really do anything. And I was more than happy to support you and sit on the couch next to you. But then all of a sudden you got out of the funk and you were like, oh, time to hang out with my friends. And I was like, excuse me, sir. Hi. No. Because we haven't done anything. So you need to check your priorities. If you're feeling better, then you should be like, let me take my chick. And let's go run in these streets. Mm-hmm. And then you can go chill with your friends.
Yeah. It's all that. And that just dates back to the conversation of balance.
Yeah.
Which applies.
Yeah.
So I think that sums up boundaries. There are others, but I think really it's about the boundaries of using your time wisely and what's appropriate for each partner in the relationship, and then the boundaries of respecting the nature of sort of the sexuality and then the nature of the relationship between men and women.
And here's
platonic friendships.
And here's what I can say. Our relationship is unique in that we jumped in and we've figured everything out along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do what we did because... do it if you want to.
Don't do it.
Like, do it if it feels right and if you're sure.
But, like, we're fucking crazy.
Absolutely. But it works for us.
It works for us.
Right. However, I think... we had to learn about our boundaries as we went along.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the best way to do it. I think it's been okay and it worked out with us because it worked out. But I think the best way to do it is to have these conversations early on.
Yeah.
So you can know where, you know, what each other thinks, you know, if there's a true compatibility. Because you don't want to waste your time only to find out that, you know, your partner doesn't want you talking to anyone with a penis or wearing, you know, certain clothes or going certain places and treating you like, you know, like a slave or vice versa. You want to know, you know, where your person is in terms of their level of confidence, their friendships, you know, what they deem fair and respectful and courteous. And I think you should have those conversations pretty early on. And if you're uncomfortable having that conversation, then I can tell you right away you're with the wrong person. Because when you're with the right person, I've said this before, you can talk about absolutely anything, even in the very beginning, because that person is interested enough that they'd be willing to hear you out. And if they aren't, you know, there's a lot of other people out there.
Facts.
So no biggie. So
that's boundaries for y'all.
That's boundaries, etc. Boundaries, etc. We'll call that one.
Boundaries, etc.
We'll wrap it up there. And next week we may not be around.
We may be. We may not. You'll see. You'll find out. You'll know. But we're here.
We're going on a fabulous vacation
in the now.
Yes. So thanks for listening. Thanks for your fellowship.
Hit us up on the Instagram. Hit us up on our email. You already know the handle. I don't need to tell you guys. Don't play.
But in case you don't know the handle.
Oh, okay.
We're on Instagram at What Happens After I Do. Or you can email us about absolutely anything. Questions, comments, topics, advice.
Feedback.
Feedback.
Shit talk.
Right. Our email is whathappensafterido@gmail.com. And that's it. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.